The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, Bahamas. It is Friday, the 30th of April, 2021. And you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It is Friday, the 30th of April. That means it is Taurus season. That means all the May babies are about to celebrate. And what a beautiful time. Yes, I am calling forth all of the plums, the scarlet plums, the red plums. The scarlet plum is the scarlet plum. The red plum is red Spanish mombin. The yellow plum we call hog plum is yellow Spanish mombin. It will also be mango time. The sour sops are getting ready. May is a beautiful time to be alive. But so is April. I don't want y'all April babies to think I'm dissing y'all. I'm just a little excited for May. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And this ad is brought to you by the Department of Statistics. Census goes digital. During the months of April to July, the Department of Statistics will be conducting a listing exercise to build a database to support the first ever national census data collection via a digital and online process. The listing exercise will include all buildings and dwellings in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands will be listed by enumeration district. This message was brought to you by the Department of Statistics. Well, if it's a Friday, that means it's Culture Friday. What a great way to start off your weekend. It's going to be a breezy weekend. Let us hope that the breeze stays with us. But today ends April, and April was Child Protection Month. It flew off my radar, and I apologize for not engaging in any conversations around this subject. But this morning, I was lucky enough to be met by members of the social services team giving out flyers with information and information about child abuse, neglect, and child sexual abuse. So in the first week of May, I'm hoping to bring on a member of the Child Protection Unit to discuss the activities that took place in April and how we move forward supporting this agenda for the protection of children and young people in our country. So let me just give you the child abuse hotline numbers before I go any further in the show. If you know of or suspect a child is a victim of abuse, whether it's neglect, physical violence, emotional, psychological violence, or sexual abuse, you can call 322-2763. That's 322-2763. Or you can call 422-2763. 422-2763. And the Department of Social Services Child Protection Unit is on the second floor of Alexander House, That's Montel Heights and Robinson Road. It's very important. Please write that number down. Sometimes you don't have the space or the opportunity or even the capacity to intervene yourself, right? You may not know what to do. You may not know what to say. Sometimes when we intervene, we could potentially make the situation slightly worse for the child, right? Because parents and people tend to feel ashamed, you know, when you sort of step in. And so maybe the best way to deal about it is engaging the child protection unit and using the child abuse hotline. But this much is true. All young people rely on all of us to create an environment where they can live a life free of violence. Their intimate home lives should always be free of violence. But we know that mothers and fathers, particularly in this moment, the pandemic, the uncertainty, the economic uncertainty, the stress, we know that our parents in our communities are overwhelmed with their own lives and trying to maintain the lives of their family, right? So let's us as a community be mindful, be observant, step in where we could step in, because maybe it's the time to step in is not when the child is being beaten. Maybe the time to step in is when you see the mother coming home late. You already know that she's stressed out. Maybe you could walk to the house with her and say, hey, you need any help getting settled in? You want a hand putting away these groceries? I see you're coming home later than normal today. You want me to go take a couple of these cans of corned beef and knock something up dead quick in my kitchen and bring it over for the children? A small intervention like that, something as small as that, I'll be honest with you, a bag of plum tamarind for the children to eat. Bring them a bag of tamarind and half a bag of sugar and tell them make some tamarind sauce and love yourself. Little tiny interventions like this can help. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a guest for Culture Friday, and I think you're going to love it. I have a phenomenal, I call my friend Dr. Ancelino Davis the Renaissance Bushman, right? Because this boy know everything about bush and things that grow in it. But I got a phenomenal artisan in studio with me today. She's a little shy, you know. I can see over there telling him, no, that ain't me. But I can sing her praises in a moment. In a moment. I wanted to take that time with the child abuse hotline information, because that's important. That's even more important. Even more important than what I'm about to say right now. But I want you to know that I think that this is important too, which is why I'm going to say it. On the front of today's Guardian, the top of the fold, the headline is, PM suggests weekly tests for non-vaccinated. And under that, it says, Minister urges employers to encourage workers to get COVID-19 vaccine. I am very concerned about this. Are vaccines mandatory? I keep hearing the Prime Minister and agents of the state keep saying they're not mandatory. But at the same time, I keep hearing the Prime Minister and agents of the state say things that suggest to me that in short time or eventually, these vaccines will be mandatory. And I got a whole bunch of questions I want to ask quickly before we get into the show. Why is the PM making statements like these at events that have nothing to do with the vaccine rollout protocol or the COVID virus, right? Like, why do you keep talking about vaccines and the virus at events that have nothing to do with vaccines and the virus? Is this just an aside? You know, we're talking about buying the airport and what we could do with it. No, just as an aside, I was thinking about it. I don't want to forget, you know, by the time I get to Nassau, I could forget. So let me say it now. Is that what was happening? Or were you making a statement that is directly tied to the event? Are you suggesting to us that for the sake of the tourism product, people should take vaccines. Is that what you're suggesting? Because you made the statement at an event that sort of coincidentally has to do with tourism. Because, and here's why. Because we know that the impetus to get this airport off the ground has nothing to do with the citizens. It has everything to do with the economic model you're trying to establish with the opening of the hotel and airlift, right? But let me say this. First of all, this is unfair, Prime Minister. It is unfair of you to make these types of statements that have nothing to do with the purchasing of the airport at this event. Secondly, it is unfair to continue talking about this thing that isn't a thing in this manner. See, that's the way that parents talk to children, because parents don't owe their children any certainty. I don't owe you nothing. I in charge, right? This is unsettling. Vaccines and the COVID vaccine. This process is too important to allow it to play out like this. But furthermore, you have an obligation to your citizens, the people that elected you, the people who didn't elect you, the people that you have been hired to govern. You have an obligation to them to present the information that they need to direct their lives and to help their children and their family members navigate the world in front of them. You have an obligation to present that information to them in as a clear and concise manner as possible. Why isn't the COVID vaccine team, the consultative team, making these announcements at a formal COVID vaccination meeting or press conference? Furthermore, why are agents of the state in one capacity making statements about vaccines in another capacity? And yesterday I was supposed to mention the story in the front of the Punch about Mr. Michael Scott, or the story, I think maybe it was Monday's Punch, the story that he is engaging other jurisdictions about vaccines. And I wanted to say this. First of all, I want to apologize to you, Michael Scott, because you got all the jobs, and I want to know how I could get multiple jobs too. So I don't want you to think that I have a vibe with you, okay? Because you know how to get plenty job. But second of all, why are you as an agent of the state operate? Like, see, before you were just the person who buy the hotel, right? But now you are the person who is seeking out vaccines in other jurisdictions. It becomes a problem that you on the other side are telling your employers that they should expect the need to get a vaccination to work here. The people deserve access to information in a clear and concise format. I get plenty, plenty questions. If vaccines are not mandatory, right? Why is the PM urging employers to encourage workers to get the vaccine? Either you're going to lay out a case for us why it is absolutely necessary for us to get vaccines to be employed, right? You need to lay out a case for this. You can't just get up at an event and say, well, you know, tourism, we want these things to work. You're going to need to urge those people. I'm going to need to urge you to encourage them to take the vaccine. This is bully culture, man. This is bully culture. You want to know what the brain drain is about? It's about this. It's not about young people having to live lives bigger than the Bahamas. That's not what it is. You think that's what it is, but that's not what it is. It's about this. It's about the lack of clear and concise information. It's about feeling like you will always be a child in your own country because every system that you have to operate with treats you like a child. And when we come to this point, right, where we have to make the most important decision that any of us will ever make in our lives? You sitting here running it like a petty shop. And I want to make this note here to Simon in the Tribune. I just want to say this. And I feel compelled to say it at this point. I read the majority of that. I could be honest with you. I felt uncomfortable reading it. I mean, I say I read the majority of it. I had to read it in parts. I had to come back. I had to cool down, come back, cool down, right? But I want to say this to the people who think that they are doing a good thing in their attempts to, and I don't know if you could see the fingers, quote, quote, encourage Bahamians to take the vaccine. Ask yourself this question. Before you try to shame somebody for the decision that they have made, do you understand the science at hand? Or is it that you trust the institutions to tell you what the science is? Ask yourself this. Do you understand the science that you are telling other people that they should just trust if they don't understand it? Or is it really, you don't understand the science, but you trust the institution that is telling you the science is good? This is not about whether you should take the vaccine or not. This should inform the way that you engage other people who don't agree with you. So between reading that thing in the Tribune yesterday and seeing this half statement here, this is what it is. It's like a half statement. It's like not all the truth. You know when you're in a relationship with your partner and you begin feeling distrustful? Because you feel like you're not getting all the information. It's not full disclosure here. Well, this is a medical health issue. And we all deserve full disclosure. We all deserve to be informed. And we all deserve to have for us an environment provided by the stakeholders in which we can make a decision that is as informed as possible. This is a human rights issue. I really didn't want to get involved in it, right? But as a human rights advocate, and not just as an advocate, you see, because we got to couple that, and in the absence of engagement from the legal community, the Bar Association, the Eugene DePuch Law School, where are the jurists? Where are the lawyers? Where are the people that understand the law and can give the average citizen a framework they can use to understand the issues at hand? Where are you? The people need you. The same way you pay a lawyer to go to court because you don't understand the law, and that's the, you know, sensible thing to do, is the same way we would like to rely on the legal community to provide us with some information to help us navigate these decisions. But to the Prime Minister, now is the time. You say you have a vaccine rollout plan. We need to see the plan. And we need to know what you intend to do. We need to know if you will ignore the need to reckon with this human rights decision in the face of desperation and trying to revive an economy. We need to know these things. Now, people, I'm not telling you not to take the vaccine. Like number of media personalities have told us, this is a decision that you have to make for yourself. What I am saying is that we deserve more information. We deserve to have access to it in a timely fashion. It needs to be clearly articulated. It needs to be concise. It needs to be certain, and it needs to be honest. For surely you are the government of honesty, accountability, and transparency. That's what you tell us to vote you in on. And that's what these people did. And at the very least, you owe them that. Good morning, Bahamas. I'm going to get through these texts, my dear guests. I'm going to get through these texts dead quick, and then we're going to start this show. My first text, morning, FNM 2 straight. Boy, you better hope we have two good mango seasons straight. That's the only thing that people are looking for two straight for. Good morning, Aaron. That's politics. Never heard of him before now. That's a vibe, hey. Hi, someone please put a sock in Minister's mouth. No. No, we're not going to do that. That's not the appropriate thing to do. Let's moderate our language, but let's be more strategic. What we do is we say, we implore Minister's PR team, the press club, and all of the resources that he has available to him, including BIS, we implore you to create a real communications team and give the Prime Minister what he needs to do a better job. Another text, he is the good cop saying it is not mandatory that employers will be the bad cop. How could a hospitality worker pay $150 per week for tests, PCR, cheaper antigen, no good? He just as well quit the job and get $100 a week for free. Which is what I'm saying. This conversation that's happening on over here, right, don't make any sense given that we have laws that govern labor and employment. Right? And so if there is a question as to whether employers can vaccinate or can demand or tie vaccination to employment, I need a statement from the Prime Minister indicating that they are going to create law that prevents that from happening. You don't treat your citizens like this. You don't let them float around in the gray. Another text, good morning, Ms. Green. The MP is singing for his supper for election money, which I did miss which MP that was. I think a lot of them are in this position where they didn't understand the political culture they were entering. And they have created lives for themselves that they may not know how to maintain or transition away from if they are no longer in politics. This living thing and being an adult thing and practicing with integrity thing, it could be rough, you know. It could be complicated. Another text, exactly, Aaron, bully culture. Why am I here feeling pressured to do something I'm not sure I should engage in? At the very least, I'm uncomfortable taking it because of the limited information. Now, text, so you know I can't say that. But he has already lived his life. He already had his children. I am still young. You see, when I had Dr. Davis on the show earlier in the week, and he talked about science and perspective and how that one little interaction with that little short child that he had to bend down to see what they were looking at changed his whole perspective. And sometimes these boy them need to shift their perspective to make decisions for people who don't live their lives. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Last time I checked, this vaccine was an experimental drug. Why try force me if I don't want to experiment? But this is it. If people don't want to take it, tell them clearly what you intend to provide for them. See? And I use that word, provide for them, because you still have an obligation to them. The people who don't take the vaccine aren't opting out of society. When you recognize that you have people who don't want to take the vaccine, you have to create a plan that incorporates them also. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. There is not enough money in the Treasury for people to start suing y'all over this. The African Union, I sure, are getting ready to launch a case to kick the Bahamas out of the African diaspora because we stay locking up all of these Africans coming here on vacation. It don't matter what they say. They say they're coming on vacation. It's how we deal with it when we suspect that they're not, right? Anyway, a wasting time. Another text. Aaron, I disagree that this vaccine is a human rights issue. We have to stop labeling everything and anything as a human rights issue. I can be honest with you, if you look in the human rights section of your very own constitution, you quickly get a sense that most things are human rights issues. Some of them we've settled, and you're so unaware that they exist because you live a life of privilege. Not you in particular, Dexter, right? But it is a human rights issue. Absolutely. at all levels, your right to participate in governance. See, in March, we talked about women's right to participate as a human rights issue. Well, all of us have a right to participate, and that's a human rights issue. Hi, so, oh, thank you, that's a lot of text. Hi, I would love to hear Mrs. C. Allen Johnson's take on the Grand Bahama Airport scam. I don't know if it's a scam. Let's not call it a scam. I will admit, if you're trying to sell me a whole airport for dollar, I ain't buying that. It sounds a little scammy. But that's just me. I'm from Acklands. Technically, please, Acklands people, I am descended from Acklands. I would like to claim the great land of Acklands as my birthplace, but I only descended from there. With the new attempt by the PM to vaccinate all y'all, do you think our good PM is operating in a conflict of interest to enrich the medical professionals? How come all of a sudden they want you all young people to take the vaccine? Hi, so our good PM threw his big vaccine rock from Grand Bahama. That was a big vaccine rock he threw from Grand Bahama. And we can't answer any of these questions because we don't have a plan with which to assess our own ideas against, right? That's why this plan is so important. Last text. I'm uncomfortable taking an emergency vaccine. Thank you, texter. I think you said it all. And I think we need to have a discussion about what an emergency vaccine is, why we encourage people to take it, but also why people would be hesitant. Here's another reason why people are hesitant. At the beginning of the vaccine talk, the Minister of Health said we are going to have an adverse response or death compensation plan if you take this vaccine. So trust us, take the vaccine. You heard word about the plan yet? You don't have to answer that, Miss. You don't have to. I didn't want to bring you into my politics. This is just me ranting from the dilly tree. Don't mind that. Don't mind that. Another text, I'm livid that texter who said the forced vaccine paradigm is not a human rights issue. They're mindless and grossly ignorant and misread. Yeah, this is definitely a human rights issue. The most important thing is that people have access to all the information that is available about the medical decision that they are going to take. That's the issue. Anyway, I see I got a caller on the line. Let's get to you, Jed. Quick caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms.
Good morning. Oh, that call dropped. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. So, Kermit, let's go to that break. You're listening to 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio. You're on the clock with Erin Green. And when we get back from the break, it's time to kick off Culture Fridays. We'll be right back.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
The general public and customers residing in the area of Easter Bay Street, east of Victoria Avenue, should note that the corporation will be carrying out improvement works on Sunday, May 2nd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. As a result, customers may experience an interruption in water supply, and the public should note that there will be interruptions in traffic flow and possible road detours for the duration of the work. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
Jump in my ride, go to the post office, jump out the ride, to buy one stamp, put that stamp on the letter, send a letter to the one I love. Girl, tell me, who do you love? I tell you, I love nobody. She can apple, can up, choo-choo gum. Girl, where you coming from? Dump and sound some angry.
Good morning, Bahamas. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is Friday, the 30th of April, 2021, and that must mean it is Culture Fridays. I got a wonderful guest in studio today. This guest was provided by Angelique McKay and Cultural Experiences Production. And let me tell you, they just bring the best guests in the world. All of them is Bahamian. All of them is super talented. All of them have the capacity to grow this country beyond belief. And all of them are committed to their craft. Good morning, Miss Emerald Sands.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I had one whole thing I wanted to talk about, the power of imagination today and what we could do if we believed in ourselves. But I ain't got time for that today because I got a person who lives that in the studio with me. Miss Sands, I know what you was do, but tell the Bahamian people what you was do.
Well, I am a makeup artist that specializes in body painting, face painting, and special effects makeup for film.
Oh, I'm sorry about your phone. Okay, special effects makeup for film. What does that mean, special effects makeup for film?
If you've ever watched The Walking Dead,
yeah,
that type of makeup.
Also, like horrors.
Horror, fantasy. I could literally take your face and transform you into a totally different creature.
Well, well, well. I think my Chikchani business is about to expand. Okay, so face painting, body painting, and theatrical makeup and costuming and props, right? Mm-hmm. How did you get started? Where did the journey start?
Well, it came from a dark place. My face painting and my special effects makeup, it came from a very dark place. I was struggling with depression. I had to find something to bring me out of it.
Uh-huh.
I found one YouTube video that I could do a simple zombie makeup look with.
Yeah.
Just regular eyeshadows and eye pencil. And from there, I just ran with it. And I started to, you know, progress into different aspects of especially the special effects makeup stuff.
Right. Now, you in studio with me today, and your face is beat to the gods. Did you start, when I was growing up, like, I'm not a girly girl at all, right?
Neither am I, believe it or not.
I don't believe that.
I am not. I am a tomboy.
I think, like, the first time I wore makeup proper was for prom. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I have worn makeup proper since then, right? But as a kid, as a child, as a young girl, did you start playing with makeup then?
No. I told you I was a tomboy. Like, my friends in high school was trying to get me to wear makeup, and I was just not having it. But the only reason why I got into the beauty aspect of it is because it does help with the special effects and the body paint aspect of makeup.
Okay, so you started with the theatrical work first,
yes,
and
yep,
then went into the other forms.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So, who is your typical client? See, because when you say face painting, right, mm-hmm, I think a children party. But then when I go to children party, I just want to get my face painted. Who's your typical client?
Well, for face painting, I do get a lot of birthday parties for kids. But when it comes to my more elaborate looks and body paints and my special effects, Angelique is one of my clients.
Okay.
She always comes to me whenever there's Junkanoo or some type of festival that she's holding. I have another client. Her name is Shannon, and she's part of the cosplay community. That's a whole different creative artist community right there. I will elaborate on that a little later.
The cosplay?
Cosplay is costume play.
Oh, cosplay.
Cosplay.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's like LARPing, like,
yes,
live action,
yes,
role playing.
Yeah, so anyone who have a favorite cartoon character or in this case an anime character, you know, the Japanese animation, they will dress up, have their makeup made, transform themselves into the character that they like. There's literally a whole community here.
Oh, no, no. I know. I didn't want to tell these people this, right? But I got my own anime costume, my superhero suit, mm-hmm, that I use in the twilight to go protect fruit. But the way my superhero skills is I could sense when your tree and your yard can't protect the fruit, and I have to take it to my yard to protect it. That's what I am good at.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you got into those afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, body painting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I like the idea. Well, I watch a whole bunch of makeup shows, right? And I'm always, I love the body painting part, but when they do the body painting part, they always do it to camouflage. Like they test in your skill if you could body paint a person and hide them in a background, right? Mm-hmm. And so like in the Bahamian culture, you would think like that's what body painting is for because we're a little taboo about nudity and body parts. How has body painting been received in the Bahamas?
It's getting a little bit more accepted. In all honesty, it is still kind of taboo because when people think body paint, they think, oh, nudity.
Yeah.
Like not just the other day, I literally had someone wanting to pay me to use my skills for an adult film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just not having it because my thing was it's already hard to get people to understand that body painting is not
sexual. Yeah.
It is not sexual. And the way that I body paint, I make sure that my models, if I have models, are comfortable. So it's starting to, you know, get a good, I guess, audience for it. But now, it's still some, you know.
So I know this gentleman by the name of Monty Knowles, right? And I think, now Monty, I don't know if you're listening, because Monty's somewhere in Europe representing the Bahamas with his artwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Monty's work is, I want to say it's adult. Maybe it's not. First of all, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Right? But I think his work plays on or uses the natural form of a woman's body to highlight the artwork, mm-hmm. right? And sort of different sort of work. What are the spaces you envision we could be using this art form for? Because I could see within tourism, there's tons of uses and not even as a sexual element.
No. Even when I do my body painting, I do incorporate fabrics, headpieces, so on and so forth. So you don't have to feel like you're naked. So I'll probably paint your upper half in your face and then put you in like probably a nice skirt. Of course, you will be covered at the upper part with a lot of gems or other type of decals. And literally, you could probably even use it in the airport when people are coming in from the States and they see this beautiful piece of work. That's a good way that you could use it. Or even with festivals, yes. I do it with Angelique all the time. Like when she's holding her festivals, I will body paint a model, make sure she's in a nice little lower piece costume and have them walk around, you know, introduce themselves to guests, just to walk around. So there's a lot of uses you could use it for.
Because, I mean, look here, we get the little zoo. Mm-hmm. I say it's a little zoo, but you don't want to catch that lion when he's walking down to the chicken snack. Like, you ain't catch him. Right, but could you imagine, because I've seen instances where they use body painting and contortionism, right,
mm-hmm.
to recreate an animal or a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you could imagine as you walk in through the airport, you come across what looks like, I don't know, the Royal Bahamian pot cake, right? or Abaco parrot,
mm-hmm.
right? A Bahamian parrot. And then all of a sudden it moves and transforms into another local animal. Right? And people then will just fly in to have that experience.
That
is awesome. That is awesome. Okay. So you created this company called The Painted Chick.
Yes, I did.
And that's where you do your body painting and face painting
my
work?
Special effects. That's for most of my elaborate works, yes.
Okay. So what does your elaborate works look like? See, because you could make me up. I said, you can make me up and make me look pretty, and that's elaborate, right? They look like I'm going to look for a date. But I think you mean something far more spectacular than that.
Far more out of this world. Like I said, I transform faces and bodies. Like, that is my niche right there. My niche, that's my niche. I could do the beauty, but that is not my niche. My niche is
the transformation.
Yes.
So quickly, give people a link to that, to the website or the Facebook page.
Okay, my Facebook page is The Painted Chick, Chick spelled C-H-I-Q. That's for Facebook and for Instagram.
Now, I want you all to go check this out, right? Because one of the questions I had for Emerald this morning was, when I saw some of those elaborate costuming or transformations, right? I wanted to ask her, was she the model and the artist? Because that is one thing to be able to make other people up, but to do it to yourself, right, is another thing. Well, Miss Sands told me that there's one in particular that I thought was her. I was certain it was 1,000% certain it was her. And then she told me it was somebody else. And I know the other person. Tell us about that piece of work.
Well, it was Easter. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to do this chocolate bunny look. And
yeah.
I also wanted to make some content for my company along with my friend who was the bunny's cinemorphosis. So I was like, hey, let's do this chocolate bunny. And she's like, all right.
Now, cinemorphosis, you partnered with Tara Woodside to create that?
Yes.
Now, I know Tara Woodside from Track Road Theater. First of all, people, cinemorphosis is a production company extraordinaire, right? They make short films, but for people who are familiar with steampunk, they making steampunk action suspense shorts all throughout Nassau. So I would say two things. First of all, Tara Woodside, I'm very glad that whatever official work you had to do today, you didn't play hooky to join us in the studio. Don't be bad like me, but we miss you. I've known Tara for a long time. Tell the people about Cinemorphosis.
Cinemorphosis was founded in 2017. Mm-hmm. Tara was actually looking for someone to help bring her ideas to life in the more of the creative makeup department. And a friend, a mutual acquaintance of ours, got us together. We started talking. We did something together. She liked my work. And she was like, hey, you want to form a company? I'm like, all right, sure. We call it Cinebites at first because I was like, okay, short bites of film.
Yeah.
And she was like, nah. It reminds her of cinnamon buns. And yeah,
yeah.
Make her feel hungry. Say, okay, so what about cinemorphosis? Makes more sense because you have the cinematics and then the morphosis is the transformation.
The costuming and that elaborate part of it.
So, and we specifically specialize in more of the special effects, props, costuming part of movie making. So we kind of would be like a department within a movie studio.
Yeah.
That's what we would kind of be. But right now we're just like a standalone.
Yeah, because the next thing I was going to ask you is, so you create work pieces, costuming, makeup for Cinemorphosis, but do you also act in the films?
The first and last time I acted in the film is when we did our superhero movie.
So you have a whole superhero movie?
Well, it's not a superhero movie. It's it was like a pilot kind of.
Yeah.
It's called the Archipelago Alliance. So I acted in the first shot of that before she redid it.
Okay.
So, but I'm not the person to be in front of camera.
Okay. So look here. Is this out? Can we watch it? Do we have to bootleg it, or can I buy a copy of it? And dear Bahamian artists, don't make me bootleg your stuff, you know, because I want to watch it. I want to enjoy it. I want to be able to experience it and your ideas and maybe import some of it into my own thinking, right? But I don't know where to find it.
For the first shot of Archipelago Alliance, you could find on YouTube.
Okay.
But the remastered one, you have to go on Vimeo to find it.
Okay, that's cool. And it's Archipelago
Alliance.
Look here. I is a Chikchani catcher. I got my superhero suit and y'all done make movie. So have y'all worked on any international projects or made projects in another jurisdiction?
Me personally, no. Yeah. I know Tara has done work internationally, but me, no. I've done work for local people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as that went.
All right.
I'd like to do something international.
Now, look here. I know you draw comics, or you used to draw comics. Do you still draw comics?
Comics was actually my first form of artistry before I got into body painting and special effects makeup. I recently got back into it, and I revamped an old comic I did a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process of remaking that, and I'm not published, but I guess kind of publish. I have the comic up on a website,
mm-hmm.
and it's more of a web comic, so you can just click on the website and you can find it.
Okay, I need you to pick up the mic and speak directly into it.
Sorry.
Don't mind the camera. No, you really have to pick it up and put it right to your mouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The levels are a little low, but you really have to go right to it. Wow. So, where can we... Is there an archive of local comic strips that you are aware of? And is there a community of comic artists?
There's a community of comic artists.
What are they called and where we could find them?
One is Staniel Russell.
Okay.
He's a friend of mine, and he's already published internationally.
Okay.
So his comic is called Zephyr. Uh-huh. It's really good. It's kind of like a Japanese comic, is how he bases drawing. And then I have another friend named Maz Joshin.
Yeah, we know Maz.
Yeah, he's
in fact, Maz facilitated two sessions at the UB Blue Flamingo Literary Festival earlier in the year on the graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to my audience members, I'm sorry if you didn't catch a lot of that. The way that the mics work, you got to get really close to them. And so I apologize if we miss some of that. Now, to the most important question, right? You get to have a meeting with the government. You get to tell them all the things you need to create a sustainable industry for artisans like yourself. What you gonna tell the government?
Oh, goodness. What wouldn't I tell the government?
Well, here's where I would start, right? I would say to the government, I would say, look here. You see this thing, this industry of theatrical makeup, costuming, and props, and body painting, and thing. This is a perfect marriage for the Bahamas, right? I said, first of all, let's explore the festival opportunities so you could see the potential, right? Mm-hmm. That you would need an industry or that an industry could take advantage of. How many different types of festivals we could have here, from body and face painting to the theatrical costuming to short film, right? So not just the artisans.
Not just that, but cosplay as well.
Then cosplay and anime. You know how many people would love to come to a cosplay convention or a BahamaCon?
Yes.
Right?
I know I always tell my friends that our name alone, the Bahamas, is marketable. So why not?
Right. Why not call it BahamaCon?
Yeah. Why not?
Come be nerdy on the beach in the Bahamas with other fun, nerdy people who love y'all. Right? But so what other ideas do you have to create an industry? Or what would you tell the government they need to do to help artisans create an industry?
Well, give us a chance.
But in what spaces? Because right now they're thinking, where are you supposed to have a painted body?
What do you mean? Like, are the Junkanoo festivals that you guys implemented, like, you can have it there. We can literally have a body painting festival during one of our local or national festivals. That could be done.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up an idea, you know, just being open to the idea of having something like going back to the cosplay thing. If they only knew how much money is in these industries. The comic book industry alone,
yeah,
is a $1 billion industry.
Mm-hmm. And I would just make a note here. Even 10 years ago, there's a strip coming out of the region of Caribbean, like how you have archipelago. Right?
Mm-hmm.
with two superheroes from each country, mm-hmm, in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Was that Bahamian?
I don't know. I know it's Caribbean, but I don't know if it was Bahamian. I mean, but talking about that, animation is also up on the rise in the Caribbean too.
Yeah.
So why not allow these? Because Maz does animation, and I know other few Bahamians who does animation. You want commercials? Let them animate commercials for the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. And let me just send a shout out to Jason Evans, who made the great short film Chris Columbus, a retelling of how the Bahama Islands discovered Christopher Columbus. But this is an animation guy. Now, Jason is teaching animation, right? Mm-hmm. He's teaching art, definitely, and he has opportunities to teach animation, I think, in school and as a part of an extracurricular activity. Do you think creating spaces within the public school and private school systems is a great way to begin creating an industry?
Yes. Even if you just want to have it as an after-school program, mm-hmm, something, give these kids something to do. You know how much artistic kids out there who's trying to find an outlet? Put these outlets in the school.
In fact, I know somebody, I just can call their name, Welly. Their daughter was gifted some art supplies. And in 2 weeks, this young girl looked like she'd been drawing for 5 years. Lone talent was just sitting there waiting for her fingers, mm-hmm, to grasp something, mm-hmm, right? It is just out there. Okay, man. So, Emerald, let me ask you this question. Do you think a formal relationship, right? Like, see, tourism is driving this economy. As an agribusiness, I would say exploit, but as an agribusiness consultant, right? I've been lobbying for agriculture and tourism to partner when possible to give agriculture the support that it doesn't have in terms of its budget and resources, right? And so I would make the same recognition, a recommendation. Do you think what we need is a formal union or alliance of artists and then to create a formal relationship or partnership with the Ministry of Tourism to then drive the development of ideas?
Yes, I definitely yes. I say that because I have another acquaintance who's also in the body art, special effects makeup industry. And he's from another Caribbean island. But his tourism, the government of tourism, or however it's run down there,
yeah.
They always go to him and his company when it comes to like anything dealing with festivals or tourism.
Yeah.
I don't see why they can't do it here with all this talent.
And I mean, and there's tons of talent. Could you imagine if when they let Junkanoo back on Bay Street and your group come out there and y'all don't have people in costumes made of body paint and Junkanoo art, right? Who are transforming as a group from one thing or scene to another as you push them on the roller down Bay Street and Shirley Street. If you ain't bringing that to Bay Street, cheapest you stay home. You ain't innovating nothing, right? But could you imagine mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. right? I could even imagine it, and I tell you why I was thinking about it. To the company that did their wedding photo shoot on the bridge recently, listen, we're going to need you to stop. We're not shutting down innovation. We're not shutting down creativity. We don't want to shut down your dreams and your joy. But y'all ain't had not one cone out there. All y'all had was one handsome man in a tight suit flagging people to slow down. Yes, it's innovative and creative. It is so unsafe and irresponsible, though, that it can't continue. But you know what you could do? First of all, you could get permission. Then you could formally have half the bridge close. Or you could close the bridge temporarily for a short period of time. So there's no risk of any type of accident happening. And then you could get some of these body painting people to perform with your bride and groom, transforming from one beautiful Caribbean scene to the next, right? Instead of doing that. Come on, people, man. It was innovative, you know, and it was creative, but it was reckless. And so we got to balance that, right? Like we got to balance this pure fire innovation and creativity with a little bit of maturity and responsibility. Yeah, but I can imagine that that's because that's what I, now that I know, that's what I haven't at my wedding.
Yeah.
I haven't people transform. Well, Emerald, it has been a wonderful, wonderful time. I got to get you back on the show because, first of all, you're too shy and you don't talk about all the fabulous things that you have done. But I want to bring you back with Tara Woodside so we could talk more about the opportunities to get into these industries and into these spaces and what young people could do to help form a real sustainable industry. Let me just read these texts dead quick. Good morning, Aaron. People are overreacting. America has vaccinated 500,000 persons. Do you think they will die out because of taking the vaccine? No nonsense. But did you hear what you said, Texter? Do you think they will die out? What I infer from that is that you expect there will be some deaths, and maybe there will be a lot of deaths, but certainly not sufficient to render the American population extinct, right? That's what you suggested. That's a really callous way to tell people that vaccines are a lottery and everybody have to buy a ticket and some people are not going to win. That's a very callous way of saying it. Next test, we cannot be the COVID country that is a global super spreader. The majority of our population does not want a vaccine, no problem, but I think we need to have the tourism industry. That's the best thing to do. You can have a tourism industry. You could do it. It's possible. It's possible. But when your systems are so deficient that you end up disadvantaging your citizens to promote an economy that they could barely participate in, that's a problem. Anyway, it is Friday. My producer is playing that sweet, sweet music. I can't hear it in here yet, producer, but I could hear it out there. And I know what that means. That means we are at the end of this show. Emerald, it's been a wonderful time. To my texters, thank you for engaging the conversation. Y'all hear that sweet music. That means go find yourself one market. Go find yourself one tree. Introduce yourself formally to the owners and ask if you could have some. No more of this teeth and ting. Let's learn to live with each other and to love with each other. It's Friday, the 30th of April. You're tuned into 96.9 FM. That's Guardian Radio. It's 11 o'clock, and that means Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next.
Have a... Who do you love? I tell you, I love nobody. Chicago, Canep, Juju, Gump, Gal, where you coming from? Dumping sounds of Andrew Dilly. You must see, take me silly. Jump in the ride. Go to the hardware. Buy some lumber. Buy some...
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.